I was so excited last week and getting ready. I said, this is going to be a great
Happy New Year
service. And just Happy New Year.
Had this message in my heart.
I was so excited last week getting ready. This is going to be a great New Year service.
Sure to come
just pumped.
Pumped.
Had this message in my heart. Already ready for it all.
And then
this
I had COVID the year to the day.
The body aches at all.
It's just the way I celebrate
so
the new year.
I had COVID the year to the day.
And the first time I had it.
But thank you for your prayers.
I know a lot of people celebrate the new year.
Gotten it, recovered, and
some people are still battling it. So,
but thank you for your prayers.
I know a lot of people in church
love it.
2021 came
first, and
some people are still battling it. 2021
will come a whole new thing.
Amen.
Being together, reaching out to Christmas play, we have so much fun. Being together and reaching out to each other, we respect each other.
We thank you, church, for the times we're living in, but also we continue.
Because this is what God has given us, we respect each other, we respect the times we're living in, but also we continue.
Encourage each other.
This is what God has
come together around the Word of God.
He's given us a place
to find stability in an unstable time.
Encourage each other in this year, to come together around the Word of God and be encouraged,
find stability in an unstable time.
And that's what we did in this year.
That's what we've done every year.
In this way. So thank you, church. That there was a new thing happening this morning about newness.
And I was thinking about Christmas. How many people have
there is a new thing happening?
How many people got something new?
And I was thinking about Christmas.
How many people have nice new shirts?
New shirts.
How many people got something new?
Ooh, it fits.
So
nice.
Then you went and cooked some bacon. My new shirt is no longer
what new.
The gritty splattered shirt.
These things that we get, my new shirt is no longer going to be corrupted.
The new year starts with all kinds of hope and all kinds of desires and all kinds of aspirations. Some people make resolutions, that's good. We make resolutions, and then you make 12 hours of the year. We make sure that we're ready.
We can make these new statements that we will improve ourselves, that we will make new things that we receive, and those new commitments that we make in the new year that we are given, we find out that those new things that we receive, those new commitments that we make in the new year that we are given, frustrating. Isn't that frustrating? Something comes along that you have no control over.
So no car
and
can go near a
new thing that you have.
No car door can be near your car, but then all of a sudden, what did you do? You did everything that you could, rolling through the parking lot, and you see it.
But that one thing came flying at it.
What did you do? You did everything that you could to protect the paint job.
I talked to someone recently, Tesla. There it is.
Well, their friend got a Tesla, and it has the auto park feature.
I talked to someone recently, however, got a Tesla and it parks itself in the garage.
Well, this guy has an auto park feature at home.
1860s.
However, beautiful barn he turned into a garage.
This guy has like 1800s Civil War at home.
Beautiful barn he turned into a garage.
Driver's side mirror, brand new Tesla in there.
Oh, he gets in the next morning, drives out. What happens?
What happens? Passenger side mirror ripped right off.
Driver's side mirror, terrible, pulled back in, backs out. What happens?
Passenger side mirror ripped right off.
What I'm saying is that the new things that we receive can be affected. They can be tarnished.
What I'm saying is that the new things that we receive can be affected. They can be tarnished.
Adam and Eve in the garden stained.
In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve in the garden of Eden is completely new. A lot of what we talk about goes back to Genesis 2 and 3. God creates fascinating to me that so much of our world is connected to Genesis 2 and 3. It's brand new. What is God's reaction to this creation?
It's very good.
It's good.
Creation is good. Creation is great. Man and woman are very good.
It's very good.
And creation is good. Perfect creation. And Adam and Eve, man and woman are very good.
It's amazing.
And they are actually given this perfect creation. And what they're given is perfect garden.
We saw it made out here.
It's amazing. They're given everything. Now, every tree that is in
what
the garden
they're given is everything, right?
You can see it laid out here.
They're given everything.
Every tree that is in the garden
to eat.
It's given for you.
Discover a new fruit.
You can eat it.
You go to a different country and you try
your
fruit.
Life didn't even know this. You're
discovering new fruits to eat.
Adam, have you ever discovered a new fruit?
They had it all.
You go to a different country and you try a new fruit.
But he said it.
In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17.
Adam and Eve bought.
But
they had
all
trees
that you may not eat.
But he said it
in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17,
of the knowledge.
But there's one tree
that you may not eat from.
Limitation.
That is the tree
Adam and
of
Eve
knowledge
in perfection. In a perfect new creation.
Limitation.
Are given everything.
Even in the unstained creation, man had limitations.
Why would sinless man be limited?
Why would the measure of obedience be limited?
Why would sinless man be limited?
Can I understand God
as a measure of obedience, he is sovereign?
Can I be obedient to God?
Can I understand God
if he doesn't tell me that I can't
understand
something,
he is sovereign?
Like this idea,
can I be obedient to God?
He doesn't tell me that I can't do something.
They're given unbelievable freedom.
Like this idea, limitation is not for their relationship to God.
But actually, they're given unbelievable freedom, and this limitation is given for their relationship to God.
So that they can look at God as the only sovereign, and I am a tree of obedience to good and evil.
It's really the only spot that Adam and Eve didn't know is their good and evil before this tree of good and evil.
Now, does that say that Adam and Eve didn't know good and evil before the limitation?
Good was in falling
not. Good and evil, but they knew so bad. Because they had a view of good and bad, and they followed God.
Bad was in disobeying God.
But they had a view of good and bad, and they followed good, wasn't there?
That there was the will of man, and it is a target of the serpent, that she would begin to stir up this desire for something different, that she would begin to stir up this desire for something other. Has God said?
The devil
introduced to her in Genesis chapter 3, the knowledge that Adam and Eve had come from God.
Meaning, the knowledge that you have, every bit of knowledge that Adam and Eve had, had come from God, from a different source.
But now the devil is approaching Eve and saying, you could have knowledge.
Look at this one from a different source.
This tree is beautiful.
It's delicious.
Really.
Smells good.
There it is. It checks all the boxes.
Why would you be limited from it? It's delicious.
You're not.
It smells good.
Why would you be limited?
Because if we eat from it, we will be limited from it.
You're not.
Why would you say that?
Because if we eat from it, we will surely die.
And isn't this amazing that the devil is going at this point?
He said that.
God told you that the devil is saying to Eve,
really, God is trying to control this point.
He's limiting you. He's trying to control you.
The devil is saying Eve could be there, really, God is just trying to control you.
If I look at what I'm not allowed
to have,
he's trying to control one tree.
And Eve could be there, if I look at what I'm not allowed to have, it's one tree.
It's everything.
And if I look at what I am allowed to have, it's beyond anything I can consider of freedom.
It's everything that I have.
So really, there is not a limitation. There is actually a framework of freedom.
He's just worried that you would figure things out.
But that's where the devil is.
He's just worried what he's holding back.
He's just worried that you would figure things out.
That kind of
idea.
You would understand what he's holding back from you.
Chris or Trish,
have you ever had that kind of idea?
Hear me, Kate. The young one guy.
Hey guys, come here real quick.
This will be good for you, the example.
Chris, Tristan, Jeremy, Kate, come on up.
This will be good.
So we have these guys.
Okay, so the idea is, right?
Hey, Dylan.
You guys are going to be like examples. Come on over. Line up right here. I say to my folks, can I do what they do? You guys don't want me to do what other people do.
It's not.
And the devil comes in.
Actually, you are free to do a lot.
You have been limited.
You're very free to do a lot of things.
For you have been kept back from
and
real freedom
of expression.
You have been limited from experience of real freedom. Okay, the worst
you have been kept back from real freedom of expression.
Guy one time he said, "I'll do anything, experiment."
I'll do any
the worst advice you ever hear. I do it the first time, you do it, and I do the second time to make sure.
I'll do anything twice.
Okay.
I'll do anything. That can be a funny experiment.
I do it the first time, and the second time, make sure I did it right.
Okay.
That can be a funny experiment.
I tried it twice.
That's funny when you're talking about.
You know when it gets dangerous?
Tofu.
That gets dangerous when you're talking
about.
But you know when it gets dangerous
when you're talking about.
That gets dangerous when you're talking about heroin. Right.
That gets dangerous when you're talking about sexuality, all of these things.
And we could say very abruptly, I'm not saying this to all of us, but I just want to remind everyone, God has given us freedom.
God has forgiven us.
I'm saying the devil has presented freedom to us, God has given us freedom.
And that there is a whole life out there that the devil doesn't even know about.
Look at the movies, look at YouTube, look at it all.
And that there's a whole life out there that you don't even know about.
Look at the movies, look at the YouTube, look at it all, it's so free.
And it brings you,
you know where it brings you?
It brings you to a little place.
The warning is that lonely place.
It brings you to death.
And it brings you to death.
I've had friends overdose.
The warning is that sharp.
It brings you to death.
Life is so much bigger than the overdose.
Life is so much bigger than the stuff, than the chasing. Chasing the thing is so much bigger than the image.
Life is so much bigger than the stuff, than the chasing, and the things.
The image has been so much bigger.
Okay, so here
God. Adam and Eve in the garden,
and God
takes
this,
he takes the fruit. What was it that been?
Who knows
the point?
Okay, so here she eats the fruit. What was she given to Adam? Her eyes are open. What is the point? When she eats the fruit, the end of Genesis chapter 2, it ends with this sentence. She gives it to Adam, and Adam eats it. So what is the point? That's right. The end of Genesis chapter 2, it ends with this sentence. And they were both naked, and the man is so everything were not. Oh, no. Why weren't they ashamed?
Chapter 2, verse 25, because they were living in the great freedom that God had given them, with its limitations, that preserved them from death.
Why?
Because they keep you from plowing into other
cars.
Great advice.
Traffic laws are fantastic.
So wise.
Why?
God is
because
so good.
Because they keep you from plowing into other cars.
He keeps us from death.
Adam and Eve so eat the fruit.
They go from being unashamed quickly to being ashamed.
Now that I have the knowledge of good and evil, I got to put something on.
Now that I have the knowledge of it, what am I going to do about this?
Now that I didn't die immediately, what happened?
Now that I have the knowledge of it, what am I going to do?
They spiritually died when they started to wind.
It started the clock.
Took 900 years in the beginning, now we're at what, 80 years?
The clock of physical death started to wind.
It happened.
Down.
Death.
Took 900 years in the beginning, now we're at 80 years?
Physical death are both at the same point.
They moved in different ways.
Death.
Okay, so spiritually dead. That was the
physical death, spiritual death.
So now, same point. They moved in different ways.
They have now.
Okay, so spiritually dead.
That was the impact.
But what is the
frustration of that?
Adam and Eve, here they are.
They have now the knowledge of good and evil.
But what is the frustration of that knowledge?
I know what sin is.
I can't do anything about it.
I know what evil is.
I can't do anything about the effect of it.
I know what sin is.
I know what evil is.
And I know the effect of it.
Right?
I can't change it. I can't cover it.
The result is that I am ashamed.
I can't change it. I can't take it away. I can't cover it.
Now, the result is that I am ashamed, here I am, exposed, a sinner, broken, out in the middle of nowhere, with no ability to do anything about it.
I tell you, that's the most frustrating place to be.
That's the result.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
And no ability to do anything about it.
Two guys on this side.
That's the result.
Brothers on this side.
What's the answer? One guy on this side.
Okay. All right. Two guys on this side.
Pray for me.
Brothers on this side.
So what is the option?
What are the options? Just pray for me.
The options are. All right.
Okay. I have good.
So what is the here?
What are the options?
Good is good, isn't it?
The options are good. I have good. Never quite good. Good is here.
Good is good. Evil.
Good is good.
Never questioned the fact that good is good.
Right.
But then also, good is present.
Not actually.
What's also evil? Right.
Evil.
How do I
when good good is present, present,
this?
What's also present?
Like when I'm doing well, how do I manage this?
A little bit of this,
huh?
Feeling good.
Like when I'm doing well, I feel good.
Right? It's good, right?
But what's this? Feeling good?
And evil is like tugging a little bit.
I do, and saying, why bother?
Right? It's good.
Or good, what's here?
Ah, why bother?
And evil is like tugging a little bit, present.
And saying, why
bother?
Or good says, why bother?
Every time I do good, evil is right present with me.
He didn't come down here to die on the cross so that he could watch us struggle between good and evil.
He didn't come down here to watch us struggle between man-made stuff.
Man is where religion lives.
And like, trying to hide this, but also frustrated that I can't get rid of it, but I can't stay in the one I want to be in. And if I'm honest, I want to be here sometimes.
So what is God?
And that's what's wrong with his nature.
Death is working.
This is what is.
So what has God done?
So this is Genesis chapter 3, death.
I'm coming, Christians,
is working.
This is what has happened.
Okay, so now,
so that's Genesis chapter 3.
What is their reaction when they die?
First thing, we've got to do something about this.
Okay, so that's Genesis chapter 3.
What is their reaction when they die?
How did those figs stand up when God showed up?
Okay,
fig leaves.
Well, they hid.
We'll make clothes out of fig leaves.
Right. They knew it wasn't
how
as
those
fig
leaves stand up.
It didn't actually solve the problem. It
hid
the frustration of the wrestler.
They knew it
wasn't
the suit covering.
They knew it didn't actually solve the problem. It didn't ease the frustration of the wrestling match between good and evil.
But instead, when God showed
because
up,
we discovered something. We have knowledge that where are you?
But also frustration that we can't do anything about it. And shame
because we have knowledge of something, but also frustration that we can't do anything about it.
The knowledge
and shame that we have gotten ourselves in that situation.
Oh, where did you gain that information?
Death.
The knowledge I gave you,
that's what the shame is.
God made the sacrifice.
Okay.
Now turn with me to John chapter 3.
Spiritually, you are dead.
That's what the shame is.
No, Genesis 3.
God made
John
chapter.
Now turn with me to John chapter 3. Nicodemus. How many people?
Genesis 3. John chapter 3. Nicodemus.
Whoever it is, coming in the name of Nicodemus.
How many people have meditated on
Rabbi,
we
know that you are a teacher coming to God.
For no one can do these things that unite. He meets Jesus. And he says, Rabbi, I know that you are a teacher coming to God.
Jesus, we see that
no one
can
do these things that you do.
And you're able to maintain goodness
with them.
They're coming to Nicodemus.
Jesus, you're able to maintain this goodness.
You're good.
How are you able to maintain goodness?
This is the way Nicodemus sees it, right?
You were able to maintain this goodness.
I'm not living
how do you do it?
Understanding of good and evil and trying to be better than I am bad.
I'm not here.
Isn't that it?
I'm not living in this understanding of good and evil and trying to be better than I am bad.
Okay, but good
is
the standard of good.
We talk to people who say, how do you do more good things than you do bad things?
Good?
Okay, Tristan, now you
see
Okay, but good.
Whose standard is good?
Tristan, okay, good.
Number of definitions is good. Isn't he good?
Okay,
good.
Tristan, now it's your turn to be good.
Tristan, isn't he good? Isn't he good? In nature, how many people have a dog? One or a cat, right? Tristan is good. And now there's a difference in nature, right? Good dog. How many people have a dog?
When you're eating dinner, or you're sitting at you're sitting on the couch reading or something,
the dog comes up and sits next to you. Say,
when you're eating dinner,
sitting on the couch.
But now we're talking about
the dog comes up and sits next to
me. If I'm sitting on my couch,
Tristan comes and he sits on my feet.
But now we're talking about human beings.
If I'm sitting on my couch,
what are you doing?
Tristan comes and he sits on my feet.
It's not as equal goodness.
So when I look at God and say, Lord, God, I've been good.
What are you doing?
He says, that's not good.
Like that goodness is not what
goodness. So when I look at God and say, Lord, God, I've been good.
I am good.
He says, that's not good.
Good job.
So
you don't even know what
Nicodemus
is
here, and he's saying,
Jesus,
we see that you're good.
I am.
You're able to hide evil. How do you do it?
Good job.
So he says,
Nicodemus is here, and he's saying,
Jesus, we see that you're good.
Unless one is
able to hide evil, how do you do it?
He cannot see the kingdom of God.
Let me tell you, Nicodemus.
Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
It really means to be born from God.
Unless someone is born again.
And what does it mean to be born again?
To be generated, born again, it really means to be born from somewhere.
Nicodemus, to be generated, verse 4, how can a man come from somewhere?
Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Even if you could be born again, what are you talking about?
What would Jesus
respond to him and say,
Nicodemus says, even if I could be born again,
unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
But what that which is born of the flesh difference. Is flesh.
Most assuredly, I say to you,
that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
It can't be anything else.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
That which is born of the flesh
is born of the flesh.
And guess what?
The dog cannot be anything else.
Right?
The human does not change.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
It can't be otherwise. The man does not become a woman.
The dog does not become a human.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
The human does not change into something else.
That's the way it is.
The man does not become a woman.
But he says in verse 3, he says you must be born again.
Meaning
you must become something that you're not.
You need to become something new.
You need to become something
new. You must be born again.
Meaning you must become something that you're not.
Which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it can't be anything else.
You need to become something new.
You need to become something
fresh.
There's the frustration. I'm stuck over here.
But that's
what we're doing with good and evil.
The frustration
is something else.
What
do we
do about
it? I know.
There's
frustration.
Is.
I'm stuck over here.
I know what
death is.
And I can't stop
over here between good and evil. The frustration
is like, oh my God,
I can't know
my own sin.
I know what sin is.
And I know what death is.
And I can't avoid that either.
I can't not sin.
I can't avoid frustration.
What do I do?
In verse 7,
you must come
and
see
right here.
In this
frustration,
you must be born again.
He says
the answer to the old man.
You must
call this the old man, even though these are strapping young men. I know.
You must
the answer to the old man and the
answer to the old
conflict between it
is not
strapping young men.
The answer to the old man and the frustration of
the conflict between it
is not
another old man.
Oh, the names work out.
It is
instead
a new man.
Need to see you,
right?
A new man.
New man.
Born again.
Right.
Oh,
John chapter 1.
Those who believe in him,
he is
a new
man.
Right?
Born
the authority, the power,
John chapter 1,
verse 12 and 13.
Sons of God,
those who believe in him,
generated from somewhere else.
The authority,
it says in that same become what?
John chapter 1,
sons of God.
Not born of the
generated from somewhere else.
Not born of the will of
sin,
but
same
instead
born of
God.
Not
born of
the enemy,
not born of the will of
something, but
now
instead
born
of
God,
that it is generated
now,
by,
is energized
by, and it means
it is
moving out of
something different.
And it is
generated by,
energized
life,
by,
moving
by
something
totally
different.
Life in what sense? Bios life?
And
no,
in this
Zoe life.
We
eternal
call this life.
The life of God.
Life.
And this life, this life new man,
is the only answer
for the old
eternal
man.
Life.
The life of God.
Because
and
this
new life,
this new man,
we have
is the only answer
this is
for
very
the old
different
man.
From any other newness.
Because
this
newness
on
that we have
in
Christ,
this
newness
is very
different
newness
of Nicodemus
from any other newness
born again,
that naturally,
that
newness would then again be defiled.
The brand new
newness,
if you're going to
be saying
if I could be born again naturally,
the shoes you got
are going to
wear out eventually
defiled.
The car you
the
drive,
sure
God
is
going to
be
stained
at some
point. The shoes you got are going to wear out eventually.
The car
you
drive
will eventually
be something
else
or something
like
whatever
that,
but it will be.
However you
drive,
I don't know.
Stained.
The only answer
can
be contaminated,
not only
that,
but
it will be.
The new man.
Stand.
Born again, now born
the
from
the only
answer
is this. This.
Not coming from natural means, but coming from divine means, coming
now
from God,
born
from
above.
That we are born of
not
God.
Not coming
from
natural means,
but
coming
from divine
means,
coming
from
God.
Do we understand
what
that
means?
We are born
of
God
now.
Yeah, we do.
You
it's
must
a mystery.
Born again.
Nicodemus eventually knew what that means.
Do we understand what that means?
And we understand it also
because
God's
mystery
to us.
Nicodemus
eventually
knew what
that
meant.
Now turn with me to Colossians chapter
1.
And
we understand
it
also
because
God
reveals
to us.
Good job,
thanks.
And we
are
born
again.
Now
turn with
me
to Colossians chapter 3.
Now Colossians chapter 3.
Good job, guys.
Thanks.
Genesis 3.
There'll be
a quiz at the end.
Colossians 3.
Keep it simple.
Now, Colossians
not too many numbers.
Just keep it simple.
Genesis 3.
Right? Colossians
3.
Colossians
3.
Keep it simple.
Not too many numbers.
Just keep it simple.
Colossians chapter 3.
Oh, actually, we need Jeremy and Caden back up here.
Come on, Jeremy and Caden.
We'll start in verse 8.
Okay.
Oh, actually,
we need Jeremy and
Caden
back.
We need him back.
Come on,
Jeremy
and Caden
back up.
Yeah, we need Christian back up here. Christian, come on up. We need the new man, too. Yeah, we don't want to be stuck with the old man.
We might need
Christian. Thank you. Yeah, we need Chris Christian back. Chris, come on up.
We need the new man too.
We don't want to be stuck with the old man.
Tristan, thank you.
Okay.
Hair looks good.
But now you yourselves have put off these things.
It does.
Put off what things?
It does.
Okay.
Verse 8. Anger.
But now you yourselves are malice.
Put off these things.
Filthy language
out of your mouth.
Anger.
Where do these things
happen? Malice.
In the old man. Filthy language out of your mouth.
In the old man. These things happen.
Put off these things.
Where do these things happen?
What is that old man?
In the old man, these things happen.
Put them on. What is it that I no longer have to listen to an act of our will?
That I am no longer in bondage to the old man, but actually I recognize that I no longer have to listen to it.
Someone could say, oh, you're not allowed to swear.
I am no longer in bondage to the old man, but actually I'm free.
But there is
and also I could limit myself.
And I could limit myself in my conversation, and I could limit myself in my conversation, and I could limit myself in my conversation, but if I could limit myself in my conversation, I could limit myself in my conversation, and 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 I could limit myself in my conversation So how about this?
I put away these things.
Do not lie to one another.
I put them away.
And then I say, verse 9,
do not lie to one another
with his deeds.
That's good.
Okay, so the old man is put off.
Do not lie to
one another.
Go behind the wall.
Since you have put off the old man with his deeds.
Okay, so the old man is put off.
What about the good parts? Yeah, the good parts too. This isn't about what is redeemable in the old nature.
What about the good parts?
This isn't about what is redeemable in the old nature, but this is about the old nature.
And you look through the scripture, but this is good. It's always talked about as something that is.
And you look through the scripture, flesh.
It's not talked about as something that is redeemable.
Always.
It's not talked about as something that we mortify, we ignore, and we reject.
But now, verse 10,
it's something that we put on the new man,
crucified.
What is the new man?
The new man is life.
And you have put on the new man
between good and bad.
Put on
the
new measurement.
What is
the new man?
The new man is life.
This much good, you can live here.
There's no tension between good and bad.
There's no measurement.
There's nothing that says as long as you do this much good, you can live here with the new man.
But as soon as you do that, you're back over there with knowledge.
According to this new man, you put on the new man.
Look at this.
Renewed in knowledge.
Why do we need to be renewed in knowledge?
According to the image of the Creator.
Because the old sin nature
renewed
knowledge of good and evil, and in that knowledge there is frustration.
Because I know the old sin is staining me, but I can't do anything about it, there is frustration.
Because I know what is renewed in knowledge, and I know the sin is staining me, but I can't do anything about it either.
It is based on Christ,
but
and what
the new
is
man is renewed in knowledge.
What is this knowledge based on?
Him who created me, he dealt a blow to my sin.
It is based on Christ, and what is in Christ?
But also, he has overcome my sin.
So there is
no fear of what has been.
But also, there is only life, he has overcome death.
There is no balancing of what has come, and there is no fear of what has been.
There is only life. Christ has made me new, and there is recognizing that Christ has made me new, and I have the freedom to live in this life.
Good job.
That's what the cross says. We have put on the new man. Okay, so put off the old.
We can think about it, there is a jumping between the old.
The old man is very busy jumping back and forth between the two.
I have a new knowledge. It was that my knowledge was coming from depravity.
My knowledge was coming from depravity.
Christ. My knowledge is coming from the fallen nature.
Fantastic.
What but I now, know to be true is that Christ has paid for my sins, and
what
I see myself
that
Doug's
way.
Union.
I don't see fantastic. Myself
on some
what I know to be true is that Christ has paid
for
my sins,
here,
and I see myself that way.
I don't see myself
on some progression to it.
But I see myself here,
completely in Christ.
Balanced in Colossians 3:11.
Christ is all
and free from the game.
It's Christ.
It's not me.
The gospel
balance
is not
different.
It's Christ.
As it's I am free
to better me
free
from
the
game.
The gospel is not proposed to better me in John chapter 3.
The gospel is presented to us in John chapter 3.
Not as an improvement of the gospel, to give man a new nature, a whole new thing.
But the point of the gospel is to give man a new nature.
Because we see in John chapter 19 that he is there
to the deliverance of the gospel.
And Nicodemus sees this.
Because we see in John chapter 19 that he's there to take Christ's body down from the tree.
So we see.
It's amazing.
In closing. Isn't this good? I love this theme. We can talk about it for a long time.
So we see in closing.
So the answer
isn't
to
this
old
good?
Man
is
I love
not
this
theme. We can talk about it for a long time.
How many times have you seen
the old man revamping the same whopper?
I mean, it's a brand new thing.
No, it's the same
Burger
thing.
King redoes the logo.
Man presents himself in a new way. I have remade myself.
It's a brand new thing.
No, it's the same thing.
Man presents himself in a new way.
I remade myself.
No, you still have the same.
Because the thoughts and the intents of man were what?
We see in Genesis chapter 6, why did God flood the earth continually?
Because the thoughts and the intents of man were a holy, evil, continually.
And that is Christ.
Continually.
That sums us up.
That is me.
So there was a need for a whole new nature.
That is not dependent
on
understanding what is good in me,
crucified
but it is dependent
on me now having a new nature.
That is not dependent on understanding what is good in me,
and now I am a new creation
that
Christ
sees myself
overcome evil.
Christ has defeated death.
Christ
has
saved my sin,
and now I am a new creation,
and I see
myself
since Genesis chapter 3. The tree of the knowledge
the
of good and evil, of sin and evil, without any ability to do anything about it.
Genesis chapter 3.
Not able to help myself.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil,
the answer is sin and
evil,
without any ability to do anything about it,
makes us new.
Not able to help myself,
new man is renewed.
The answer is
Christ.
Knowledge,
he finishes a work for us,
and it
makes us
new.
This newness,
and this new man is renewed
in the knowledge.
This newness does not wind down.
Last thing.
This new thing does not dim on earth.
And this newness does not wind down.
But this newness,
there is a new thing given on earth.
It cannot quickly be tarnished, it cannot be stained.
But this newness only goes upwards. It is only worth it to be tarnished. It cannot be stained. We will be glorified with him for eternity.
We will be conformed to his image and his likeness.
Whatever is new down here works towards death.
But this newness, whatever is new down here works towards death.
So let's be aware of this. This newness works towards righteousness.
The devil will tempt me.
Now that they are saved,
I can't do anything about that.
So let's be aware of
what I can do to
distract them.
I'll try to get them in this little game
where
there's
a little game.
Now that they're saved,
I can't
do anything
about
that.
But
what
I can do
is my depravity
them.
Is based on how
I'll try
I feel
to get
about
them
myself.
In this little game
but
where
the
they're
truth
good or
is
bad.
Now we're getting
and they're judgments of it.
The truth is that
my
depravity is
based
on how
I feel
about myself.
Totally depraved. Total depravity
is one of the most liberating doctrines you can study.
The truth is that we are totally depraved.
Meaning that you, there is nothing redeemable in you. There is nothing saved in
you. One of the most liberating
doctrines
you can study.
You're totally
depraved.
And we can look at
there is nothing
savable
in you.
There is nothing
savable
in
you.
You were
totally
making a judgment based on it.
And we can look at other people and say, yes, my depravity is not judged based on
but
me.
What am I making a judgment based on?
I'm making a judgment based on myself.
But my depravity is not judged
on
me.
But this
but
is
an estimation.
This is judgment made by God.
Any goodness?
So my depravity is in comparison to His
never be as holy as God. So,
so you know what that sets me free from?
And he says,
and
thank
goodness.
You for recognizing that now you are
believing
that you are
holy
as God,
God,
so you are regenerated, you are a new
and
creation.
And he says, thank you for recognizing that now you
are believing
in that
you
move
from the
tension between good and evil creation.
Now I have
and
life.
There we have great freedom.
I'm free from the frustration.
Free from
the tension between good and evil.
And now I have life.
Why?
Because I want to live Christ has done in life.
And I can.
I can't.
That's why he
so
very
repeatedly tells us how much he loves us and what
he's done. Because that's
so that we can
recognize that we
have.
That's
why he came.
Okay.
That's why he
so repeatedly
tells
us
how
much
he
loves
us
and what
he's done
for
us.
So that we can recognize
your work
on the
cross.
Okay.
Thank you so much that you have set us
free.
Thank you for your work on the cross.
If there's anybody here this morning that
you
have
set us
free
in Christ,
you never trust in
him
in death. For your salvation,
thank
you, in your heart, Lord Jesus.
If there's anybody here this morning,
you never
I'm tired
put
of your faith
in Christ.
You never
trusted
him.
I pray that you would give
your
salvation
to save
your heart,
Lord
Jesus.
I'm
a
sinner.
I need a savior.
I'm tired
of
the struggle
between
good
and
evil.
I pray
that
you would give
life.
Okay, Lord, thank you
for abundance.
Bless us, Lord. We ask.
If that's
your prayer
this morning,
raise your
hand. Pray with you.
That you would encourage
us,
Lord.
Thank you.
Bless us,
Lord.
We ask.
Remind us of this
more and
more.
That you would encourage us.